Boomer Esiason and Craig Carton on The Fan, Sports Radio 66, WFAN New York.
Here we go!
Yo, 606, nice job, Eddie Scazzeri. You are now listening to Boomer Esiason and Craig Carton on The Fan. Number to hang, as always, 877-337-6666. That number made possible by Mohegan Sun. Paid out $8.4 billion a year ago. We go all the way to 10 o'clock. Got a big show for you today. Bucky Dent's going to come by in studio, do a little Yankee baseball with us. We have Yankees-Red Sox tickets for Friday night's game. That's tomorrow night's game. We'll be giving, for Saturday's game. We'll be giving those away every single hour today, so that's coming up. And, of course, you have the Mutts down in Atlanta playing like the Bad News Bears yesterday, showing you once again that they cannot be trusted. Have not won a single series on the road against a National League team this year. Incapable of winning back-to-back games. Incapable of getting a streak going. Four errors, three in one inning. Embarrassing all around. And then there's the Yankees. One day out of first place. One day back into first place. And A-Rod, 600 home runs. Good morning, Boomer. How are you today, buddy boy?
You know, I'm doing good, Craigie. And, you know, I'll tell you, it was a great moment yesterday at Yankee Stadium, and it just goes to show you that I don't think anybody gives a damn about the PED scandal that that A-Rod embroiled himself in. And it goes to show you that fans want to see home runs, and they don't care how their players hit them. I mean, you're talking about maybe 5 to 10% of the fans have a problem with what A-Rod did yesterday. 95% of the fans, you know, loved it, loved being a part of it, and loved watching it. And then on the other side, as you pointed out with the Mets, I mean, can there be a more disappointing loss this season? Can there be a more indicative loss of where the Mets are as a franchise, where they are as a team? And, you know, and I always believe that you keep playing until you play no longer, you no longer have a chance to get to where you want to be, and that would be into the playoffs. And the Mets are not at that point yet. But there is something really, really wrong with this team. I mean, yep. And I don't like pointing fingers at players and you know, firing the manager and screaming at the owner and all that other stuff. But when you watch yesterday's performance from number one, Mike Pelfrey, who has just been absolutely awful, and then you watch Jose Reyes and David Wright, their two cornerstone players, make just boneheaded errors that are just, you cannot explain. And the fact that the Mets lead the league in two categories. I don't
go
know
ahead.
If you know this.
All right. Go ahead.
Hitting ground balls into outs that lead to RBIs. Instead of getting a hit and keeping the rally going, right?
Right.
And number two, pop-ups with players in scoring position.
Oh, is that right?
I mean,
I think they also lead in walk-off losses and one-run losses as well.
And how about, can Jeff Francoeur just take one pitch, take two pitches of a new pitcher that comes into the game?
Right.
You have to swing at the first freaking pitch all the time.
He's very excited. He hit a home run the other night.
I mean,
so, you know, he's got to do what he's got to do.
It's mind-numbing. It really is. And this is a Met fan who usually sees the glass half full. And I have to tell you, you know, you get ready to watch the game. You get ready to get into the game. And then all of a sudden, they put that performance before you. And you just want to turn the TV off. You just don't want to watch it anymore.
You're exactly right. They're an unwatchable team right now. And you know what? When you have your lead players on the team – you know, throwing the ball all over the ballpark. You know, that to me, that's not, you know, if a pitcher throws a wicked curveball at you after a 98-mile-per-hour fastball and you strike out, understood, right?
Mm-hmm.
Pitcher's better than you in that at-bat or maybe even for the entire game. And we understand that. But when you're making these kinds of errors, to me, that's when a team has given up. That's at least how I look at it. The concentration's not there. The focus isn't there.
And why is it not there? You know why it's not there? Because the expectations are not there. The expectations...
Right.
Might be there for the fans. They might be there for us. And, you know, listen, I've played on some really good teams, and I've played on some really bad teams. And when I look at this team, and I look at these players, and then I compare them to other teams around the league, when the Phillies are all hurt and all those guys are out of the lineup and I look at their replacements, I look at the Atlanta lineup, I say to myself, when the Mets are healthy, which they are now, and they have all of their components on the field together, collectively – baseball card-wise,
right.
That's a really good team.
It
should
be.
That's a team that should be better
right.
than the team that they're playing. Yet, there's something intrinsically wrong, in my estimation, with the personality makeup of this baseball team. And maybe it would got knocked out of it 2.5 years ago.
I think that's probably got a lot to do with it.
And the guys that have been hung around here and dealt with it, dealt with the negativity, dealt with all the shots that the fans take at them, and they hear it, they read it, they see it, and we know it from talking to these guys,
because
you know, we could feel it from them too. They don't have what the Yankees have. And what the Yankees have is they have players with intestinal fortitude. They have players that if Jeter goes on a 2-week slump, there's somebody there in that lineup that's going to pick
Has been all. That's why they're in first place. That's why they're closing in on 70 wins before mid August comes around.
It is so frustrating, and I know that it's frustrating for the players, because the players probably look at themselves in the mirror and they say, you know what, we're giving maximum effort. We're giving what we are expected to give. We're living up to our contract. You know, David Wright might be one of the top leaders in RBIs, but he's also one of the top leaders in not being able to keep an inning going.
Right.
You know, gets up last night with a men in scoring position, grounds out.
That's right.
I mean, I don't know how many
ground ball outs
you can hit.
Very, very frustrating for us Met fans, because, again, you beat Atlanta 2 days ago. You say to yourself, okay, maybe we get a little something kicking here before we go to Philly and you get Ugats, absolutely nothing. So if you're a Met fan, you want to bitch and moan, we'll take that
all day
today.
Makes me wonder, is Carlos Beltran, Jose Reyes, David Wright, Luis Castillo, are these guys winners?
The answer to that question is no. There's not a winner on this team right now.
Is Mike Pelfrey a winner? No, there's a winner on this team. That's R.A. Dickey. It's Angel Pagan. It's guys like that.
I guess. I mean, even take Johan Santana. He leaves Minnesota. They go to the playoffs every year. He comes to New York. You don't go to the playoffs once. There's not a winner on this team, and it's frustrating. Then we go to the Yankees. And yesterday, what did the Yankees do? They salvaged the last game of a series that they did lose, as you correctly said, against Toronto. They're back in first place, and A-Rod goes yard for number 600. And you are dead right. All these dopey calmness about how it's stained with steroids and stained with PEDs. 95% of the fan base could care less.
You watch it yesterday.
That was a Yankee moment in Yankee Stadium. And if you were there, it's one of those moments you're going to tell your kids about. I was there when A-Rod hit number 600.
I think it's the Hall of Fame voters. I think it's the people that are around baseball for their life, the Bill Mantons of the world, that have issues with all of this stuff. Everybody else could give a crap. Nobody
from
cares.
The fans. I mean, there you probably have a very 1% of the fan base.
I mean,
your baseball purists.
Yeah, but
I'm within that.
And we'll have guys call in today and they'll tell us this sucks.
It doesn't mean anything to me.
They could be an A-Rod hater. Okay. They could do this, whatever. Yeah, okay. They could be an A-Rod hater. They could be whatever. But the bottom line is, you watch yesterday's game. You listen to John Sterling make the call. You listen to the Spanish broadcast call.
I've not heard the Spanish one yet.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
Is it good?
Yeah, the CBS radio played it.
I will have that by the top of the hour for sure.
You watch the way the fans reacted to it, and it just makes you realize, you know, who cares if Lance Armstrong's doing PEDs in the Tour de France? Who cares if a swimmer in the Olympics is doing drugs? Nobody cares. Nobody. There are those people with WADA and all that other stuff. But nobody seems to really
care. No, fans don't care. And I said that since the day I met you.
I don't care.
Just go hit home runs for me. Win games for me.
They want to see the biggest, the fastest, the strongest on the field to play. And they don't care if an athlete wants to take his body and put itself in vain or put itself in harm's way. They just want to see performance.
Well, we have a lot to do today. A lot of Yankees with A-Rod yesterday. I want to get your take. If you heard it, saw it, where were you, all that stuff. And then, of course, the Met debacle last night. We also have some Mark Sanchez stuff to talk about. There's a Brett Favre story that's all over the place that I have to address today. And it's got nothing at all to do with whether or not he's coming back. And as I told you yesterday, ESPN lied directly to all their viewers' faces about this alleged text message that went out, apparently. And Brett Favre is going to come back. It's just a matter of when he decides to come back. So we will address that. But
and for those people who say it's not about money, it's always about money.
It's about money, of course it is.
Brett Favre's not coming back making $500,000 because he wants to win a ring. He is positioning himself to get $20 million out of the Minnesota Vikings, and rightfully so, because you know they're trying to get a stadium, much like New England got a stadium, much like Indianapolis got a stadium, due in large part to the performance of their quarterbacks.
Right.
You know, listen, Minnesota, he wants more money from Minnesota.
Listen, there aren't a lot of guys worth it. He is clearly worth it in ratings, revenue, and everything else.
Everybody wants him back.
Right. So we'll talk about Favre from that standpoint, but there's also a thing involving our old pal Jen Sturger. Remember that gal that came by?
Now what?
Well, she put out some very, very damaging accusations against Brett Favre that Deadspin ran with yesterday, And we will go down that road and discuss it for what it is and what it isn't.
Show this junk.
Yeah, yes. It's all about her getting her name
yes.
in the paper.
Yes, Jen Sturger alleges that Brett Favre used to say when she was working for the Jets as a fan liaison. A few years back when Brett Favre was here.
When she had big boobs and when she had
she had the big boobs then, yes. She alleges that Brett Favre would leave her flirty voicemail messages and would send her pictures of his junk.
Showed his junk.
And she knew it was his junk because the hand that was on the junk had the wrist, at least, wore the same watch that he wore in his, retirement press conference, so she knows.
Wouldn't that picture and that picture of the junk come with a phone number
attached? I would think that it would, yes.
So what? It wouldn't matter if it came with a right. hand with his. It would. It have to come from his phone.
Now
right?
nobody has seen these pictures other than her, or heard the voicemails other than her. But of course, like most trashy chicks, she saved all these things because I save voicemail messages all the time because you never know. When are you going to need to replay them later in your life? You know what I mean, Boomer?
That's right.
So she saved them because she's a trashy skank, and she will not share them with anyone just yet, but she is now front and center and has lawyered up, as it were.
Isn't that great?
But we'll go down that road a little bit later on. Memo to everybody out there. Unless you're going to marry the broad and you've got a ring on her finger, don't send photos of your junk.
Now that you could say is a tool.
That's right.
Right.
So now
thanks,
again,
Eddie.
I don't
enough,
know.
Enough with the unauthorized audio already.
And
Eddie.
I don't know that Brett Favre
like
did or didn't
minutes.
Send them because I never saw him or
Jesus
heard him.
God.
But she apparently, when you go to her Hoboken apartment, she likes to show them to people who come visit her, according to the Deadspin story. She should move to Hohokus.
He made naughty bits on it.
Yeah, he made naughty bits on it.
Oh, and
right.
Colin Cowherd's mad at me because I called him out yesterday for being a tool.
Now, why?
I know he listens to us.
I thought you said that he was a talented guy.
I did.
And so he got mad at you because
he got mad because I ripped ESPN for all their Brett Favre nonsense.
Well, they should be ripped.
Of course, they should be ripped. So he in turn then ripped us for talking about the Mets every day. So it's a
does he realize that we are a New York based show?
Yeah, but it's funny because I said he's a wildly talented guy. I don't care for him so much on TV, but did I not say he's very talented? He's good at what he does.
But where did this come out of?
Well, he listens to us religiously every morning. Oh, we're okay. Like his morning cup of coffee.
Why don't you get him to call in then?
He's not allowed to.
Oh, that's
see,
right.
See, I
he
would say
he works for that company.
That's
that doesn't
right.
Allow him
not
to
allowed to call
else.
Us.
Okay.
He's probably also bitter that I said I like Michelle Beadle more, but yeah, I'm a man. What
we
do you
were actually kind to them.
Well, I said I like that show, and I think he's very talented.
So what the hell is he all pissed
well,
off?
Well, he's pissed because how dare I take a shot at their Brett Favre coverage.
Oh, come on.
You guys
on.
Embarrassed yourself 2 days ago talking about Brett Favre. You did. And the fact that you can't go on your own show and acknowledge that your network embarrassed themselves with these invented Brett Favre text messages, shame on you.
Well, I'll tell you, they're kind of like Jen Sturger.
Yes, exactly right.
Everybody's inventing text messages.
Inventing stuff. So we got a lot to do today. And Bucky Dent will join us live in studio. And don't forget, they tell me this hour we'll give away tickets for Friday night's game. And then the rest of the morning we'll give away tickets for Yankees Red Sox for Saturday afternoon's game. Boom.
You would think that Colin Cowherd would be listening to Mike and Mike.
No, he listens to us every morning religiously. Okay. We are his go-to show, and rightfully so.
Well, I mean, that's not good.
We get the job done.
That would be falling out of line with we're what like, the you know the mothership is wanting from their people.
We're like Cool Moe Dee, get the job done. That was an old rap song.
80s. I remember Cool Moe Dee.
I remember in 85 or something.
Yeah, that's right. It's right in my wheelhouse.
Yeah, right. You used
that's
to rollerblade to
right.
roller skate
straight.
To Cool Moe Dee.
You know it, baby.
I'll give you all morning to come up with one more Cool Moe Dee song.
All right. Okay.
All right. 877.
You're gonna be relentless on this now.
Oh, please. 337-6666. Boomer and Carton on the Fan. Here's Bobby in Sayreville on the Fan to start us off. Good morning, Bobby. How are you, buddy?
Hey, what's up, Boomer?
Bobby, what's happening, brother?
Craig, hey now. What's up, buddy?
Hey, what's going on, kiddo?
All right. Well, Boomer.
Yeah.
I just wanted to let you know like that you've got to be privileged to be sitting next to the true doctor of baseball. He called it. I won money on it. He called it.
Right.
A-Rod's going to hit the home run yesterday. The Yankees are going to win by four or better. Al Dukes, you got the tape.
Did I? I know I guaranteed the Yankee win yesterday. I said if I was a baseball gambler, I would have put $10,000 on it yesterday, and they'd win easily, as they did. But are you suggesting that I also, before the game took place, said that A-Rod would hit his 600th home run?
Yeah, but you knew it. Were you the only one that knew it?
Well, I mean, it's one thing to say you knew it after it happened.
Right.
It's another thing to say you knew it before it happened. Let's play the audio from yesterday morning.
Lock it up. The Yankees win by a minimum of 5 runs today. La 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 la. Lock it up.
La 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 la. Lock it up.
That's what I have to say about that.
Does your boy A-Rod know what time the game is?
And Tampa will lose to Minnesota today, and all will be right in the world.
Two for two.
You know what? A-Rod's going to hit his home run today, too.
A-Rod's going to hit his home run today, too.
I mean, let's just take a moment to acknowledge the doctor of baseball. Yeah. Yanks will win.
This is the doctor.
Tampa will lose. Mm-hmm. A-Rod will hit a 600 today.
This is the doctor.
So there was actually somebody who knew beforehand that A-Rod was going to do it.
Yes, there was somebody who knew before the game. About when I do that, like 8 o'clock yesterday morning, whatever it was?
But you were walking around here yesterday morning going, A-Rod's going to hit it. A-Rod's going to hit it like a little tool.
Well, how's that make me? That makes me a great prognosticator.
Yeah, I know, but you're like a little dope around here yesterday.
Okay. I was telling the guys before the game, that A-Rod's going to hit a 600, okay?
You did.
I did.
You
but
did.
I have audio to prove that I did.
You did.
Mm-hmm. What else you got there, Eddie? Nothing? You have nothing else there? Because there are other people on the radio station claiming that they also knew before the game, but there's no audio to back that up.
Do we have audio or no?
Eddie, you have anything there or no?
I said to the guys, I think it had gone long enough. I said, you know, just it had to happen. You know, I said, guys, watch, it's going to happen today. I said,
there you go. See, there's somebody else who knew.
Are you suggesting that I'm not the only one told the guys that it was going to happen before the game?
I wonder if he was running around like you were running around yesterday, telling everybody, hey, A-Rod's going to hit it.
I at least have audio to back up my claim that I said it before the game. Mm-hmm. Others don't.
Okay.
An investigation on 60 Minutes.
It's Boomer and Carton. Mornings from 6 to 10 on Sports Radio 66 WFAN.
Here's Jerry Reckitt. What do you got, Jerry?
Here's John Sterling.
Swung on and hit in the air. The deep center. It is high. It is far. It is gone. He's done it. Alex Rodriguez hits into Monument Park. He becomes the 7th player in Major League history to hit 600 home runs. He becomes the youngest player in Major League Baseball history to hit 600 home runs.
And it came to Yankee win. John
and by
Sterling.
The way, hold on. Why is Susan Wallman moaning in ecstasy at the beginning of that call? Zip your lip, woman, and get back under the table.
Jeez. Alex has special balls.
Yeah, I know. Play it again just at the beginning. And in the background, like a Susan Wallman porno. Listen to the moaning in ecstasy in the background at the very beginning. Go ahead, Jerry.
Swung on and hit in the air. Swung on and hit in the air. The deep center. It is high. It is far.
She goes, yeah. Oh. I haven't heard those since college.
Yeah,
you know
I
what I
tell
mean?
You something.
Yeah.
Only you're going to pick up on that.
Oh. Play it again.
Swung on and hit in the air. The deep center.
You got a yeah and an O.
I didn't hear the O at first.
You heard it now, there, didn't you?
Yeah, only Brady's gonna hear that stuff and point
it out. Oh,
it's a Johnny Rocket.
I know when to go under the table.
Swish-a-licious.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Back to back in a belly to belly.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Goodness gracious.
Oh, did he bang that one? Oh,
would you sign my balls for me?
It makes me want to vomit in my mouth.
After 12 games and 51 plate appearances.
You have the Spanish broadcast call of it, by the way?
I don't. I believe they do
Eddie
inside.
Has it. Let me hear how the Spanish broadcast sounded with A-Rod. This would be in Spanish, by the way.
Do you have any oohs and ahs in there?
Se siento.
Yes.
600.
Se siento.
Se siento. Rodriguez.
Listo, Sean Marcos impulsa, le tira a Ale, levanta fly, que le va a lo profundo, hacia el jardín central, ahora va atrás, se va.
That's awesome.
It's like that Geico commercial where the guy's screaming over the guy's playing chess.
That is great.
Anders Kandor, right?
I don't know who does it, but great. Yeah. Awesome. Nice job.
A-Rod, the magic mark of 600, a two-run shot off Sean Markham in the first inning. The Yankees 5-1 win over the Blue Jays.
It really felt good, and it was a relief just to put it past me.
Now, you guys know on a day-to-day basis, the Yankee media is pretty much a circus, right?
Yes.
Evident yesterday, as apparently the Bombers decided to give out a credential to pretty much anyone who asked.
How many of the eight?
Of the eight what?
Your famous eight balls that have been counted from 1 to 600 didn't get to the fans. They went like into Monument Center, Monument Field.
What? Who is that?
Well,
who's that, Jen Sturger? Who was that?
I don't know.
Obviously, I'm guessing that's not an English language broadcast. And then what she's probably talking about is the first home run of your career,
right,
then the 100th, 200th, 300th, 400th, 500th, 600th. What would the eighth one be?
I have no idea.
I can't think of what would the eighth one be? Because she's referencing eight big ones. We got seven of them, obviously, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Maybe it was the eighth home run overall.
Maybe it was number eight. Could be.
And then here she had a follow-up, and then they finally decided enough was enough.
There were many other balls that didn't get to the fans, or was just the only one when you connected the home runs?
Thank you.
He's being polite.
Okay, let's keep the party.
Basically go over and scrub the
ball. Well, I mean, they're being polite there. She's obviously
like she's saying, well, the fans didn't get the ball.
Right.
What are you going to do with the ball? God.
Right. Now, the New York Yankees did announce yesterday, had a fan caught that ball, they were willing to offer that fan in return for the ball a private dinner with Alex Rodriguez and Cameron Diaz.
Oh, boy.
You would have loved it.
I would have
be that security guard.
Now I said that I would have traded for an autographed bat and jersey from every player on the Yankees, right?
And a half hour
and $100,000 and a half hour alone in a small room with one mattress. A blow up mattress is fine. We're just with me and A-Rod. But if you gave me a chance to have dinner with A-Rod and Cameron Diaz and no other hanger ons, just the three of us.
No Klingons, just you guys.
Like, I don't want Jason Zillow there. You know, right. Oh, he's got to go after dessert. No.
You want to stay out all night. You want to party into the
wee
hours
right.
of the morning.
I might have said yes to that.
You want to head over to the cafeteria at 4 in the morning.
Whatever I got to do.
That's right, baby.
Meantime, Derek Jeter says 600 is nice, but Alex is just scratching the surface.
A lot of good things for him to come. He's got another 15 years on his deal anyway, so you never know how many he's going to
get. Oh, there's your first little chink in the armor right there.
Contract.
That's a little contract.
No,
talk,
I was watching that live.
That's a little subliminal message right there from the Jeep.
He was joking.
The win for the Yankees coupled with the Rays losing to the Twins in 13.
Derek Jeter wants a 15-year contract.
Tied atop the AL East. In Atlanta, the Mets dressed up Al Dukes to appear like Ike Davis at first base last night.
Bouncy ball to the right side. Ike Davis bobbles it, kicks it, holds on to it, and everybody's safe.
That's like Lupus out in right field.
Just one of four errors the Mets committed last night in their 8-3 loss to the Braves. Manager Jerry Manuel's thoughts on the shoddy defense.
Yeah, it was bad.
But not all bad. Even though Mike Pelfrey stunk, and even though Jose Reyes and David Wright threw the ball all over the place, and even though the Mets scored just three runs, and even though they've fallen 7.5 out in the NL East, Manuel says,
there are some things that are happening, somewhat positive.
I'm just not sure what the positive things are.
Like, honestly, what's happening that's positive?
Nobody got hurt?
Angel Pagan.
Yeah, I mean, all year has been great. Right? I agree, but that's not a new positive, you know? Angel Pagan's been consistent from day one this year. That's just a beaten man. He's done. The Mets are done. Well, at least they didn't get any players at the trade deadline to change things here, you know? You got to give them that.
That's right.
Here is Wright.
We didn't really do anything, right?
And Reyes on his two throwing errors looking like Chuck Knoblauch.
I don't know what happened there, you know, so I made two errors, so I should make those play.
Mike Pelfrey now winless in four straight decisions, hasn't won a game since June. Mets are off tonight, will be in Philadelphia tomorrow. The winning bid for the Texas Rangers, $593 million. The winners, Nolan Ryan's investment group, beat out Mark Cuban. More news on Brett Favre. Apparently wants to play if the ankle healthy enough. Should know next week when Favre sees Dr. James Andrews. But there is more, the Deadspin story saying Favre sent photos of his junk to Jen Sturger when he was with the Jets and she was running around with big breasts and a tight shirt around.
Yeah, and shame on Jen Sturger. We'll get into this more later this morning, who came in here and said, I don't want to be known as just a big boob skank with nothing between my ears. I have a lot to offer, and I'm going to be a serious journalist, blah, 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 blah. Because even if he did send it, and I believe that he probably did, although I can't base on anything other than the Deadspin story. I mean, as soon as you call someone to out them in that regard.
Worse, send emails as a trail.
No, no, I'm saying what Brett Favre did, he didn't cheat on his wife, so maybe he had a little fun sending his junk to the girl. Clearly, you could say you shouldn't be doing that, but she's, I think, worse off than he is in this because she's trying to make a career out of it.
I think this whole thing is bad on all sides around, if in fact it's true. If she's making it up and doesn't produce anything, then I think that sucks on her part.
And now she's going to be in a...
But she wants to be taken seriously.
Well, she's in a position now where she has to produce it now. Right? Now, and if I'm Versus and she's one of the four, I don't know how many, nine hosts in that show, or Daily Douche, whatever it is.
Right.
You know, if I'm them and I'm her employer, I go, listen, you better produce those photos. You won't have any credibility with us, right?
Right.
And if you release them, you better release them on our show, too. So maybe someone actually watched that show. You never know.
Lastly,
too bad, because she's a very attractive gal, you know.
Yeah, but
if you were single, you'd want to bang her in a minute.
You said that you appreciated her pre-surgery.
I liked her more pre-surgery.
No,
post-surgery. No, post-surgery, right.
No, but
I don't know.
It was one of those things.
She has a phenomenal body. I remember saying that.
She had 17 surgeries, right?
Yeah, she's obviously warped in the head. She's a fatal flaw. Now you're seeing what it is. You know, she's a jock sniffer. I mean, end of conversation.
Oh, you know? Come on.
What?
You know, that is like such a thing out of high school.
I mean, she is she not?
Look at the high school quarterback. It's all the pretty girls.
No.
Guys that don't
Boomer,
play sports and play in the
please,
band.
Please, I could have smashed that in a minute if I wanted to.
Smashed anybody out.
Please, she was all over me.
No,
kidding
she
me?
Wasn't.
I could have had that five ways from
no
Sunday
way.
If I wanted to.
Mm.
She's trying to better her career. Start
so
with
she's
me.
She's going to sleep away to the top.
Number one radio host in New York. Start there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Of course, she'd send out terrible emails. Oh, it was so small, and it didn't even last more than 5 minutes. Oh, what a waste of my time. I only went back 9 more times because I thought it could help my career and put me on the morning show.
You're one of those chumps, huh?
No, listen. I've made one woman very happy.
That's all that matters.
And that's all that matters. And clearly it works because I got 3 kids, and they're very handsome.
It's Boomer and Carton. Mornings from 6 to 10 on The Fan.
Marianne, good morning. How you doing there, babe?
Hello, my sunshine boy.
Hi, Marianne. What's happening, dear?
Listen, I think that the boys have, the Mets, have a lot more talent than, just like the boys said. But I keep thinking, every time I see Jerry Manuel, he must say things like this when he gets after a loss to these boys. These okay, boys. Well, the important thing is that, you know, we tried. And don't you worry about that, Reyes. You just throw the ball. You just got to stay healthy. We have to be upbeat.
The man
sounds like that when he wins.
You are frighteningly manlike in that imitation.
No.
Yes, no. Edith, it is, for real.
No, I'm trying to make like what he sounds like.
I know, it's scary to me that you could go from Edith Bunker to a deep man's voice so quickly. That's very scary to me, Marianne.
Well, he scares me. Doesn't he scare people?
He doesn't scare me at all, and I kind of, in a weird way, feel bad for the guy because his managerial career is going to come to an end on that last October day when they play the Nationals, whatever, the 4th, 5th, whatever it is of October.
Right.
He's obviously not coming back next year. And I don't necessarily blame him, but he has lost this team, and I don't know that anyone—I don't know that anyone could save this team because
let me ask you this
question,
though.
Have 3 years a body of work, Boomer, of this team, almost year 4 now, not being able to get the job done.
It's Boomer and Carton mornings from 6 to 10 on Sports Radio 66 WFAN.
The whole Plaxico Burress Giant thing is getting out of hand, and for a few reasons. Number one. There's no guarantee that Plax is getting out of jail in the next 2 to 3 weeks. Now, apparently how the story started was that a visitor went there, and I know he has another appeal in, based on good time in jail and all that other stuff, that he could get an early release. But the prison system and the courts have not said that he's definitely getting out in the next 2 to 3 weeks.
Right.
And then, of course, if he gets out, there's going to be probationary terms, you know?
Sure.
Now, part of that is...
I would sure they'd let him go to work. And
they'd
to
let him
money.
Go to work. That's right. Now, Jerry Reese came out, and I still don't get why. And he's not closed the door on Plaxico maybe one day playing for the Giants again. I would want to think...
I would be shocked if the Maras put him back on that team.
I would think that the Giants would want to stay as far away from him professionally as possible.
But this is the same team that, you know, supposedly knew what Lawrence Taylor was doing and still let him play.
Right. I mean,
that's Lawrence's words.
Right.
You know, Lawrence basically wrote about that, saying how everybody knew what he was doing and nobody seemed to mind. So, but I still can't imagine that the Mara family or the Tisch family would want Plaxico Burress back on that team.
Right. Now, if you want to be supportive of him personally and make sure the guy lands on his feet.
That's a different story.
I certainly support that you have a personal relationship with the guy. And let's be honest, at the end of the day, he didn't commit a crime against another human being. He's just an idiot and shot himself, thank God, right? So from that standpoint, it's not like you're supporting a molester, a rapist, a murderer. So I have no problem supporting the guy, but I think the worst thing the Giants can do is open up Pandora's box and bring him in even for a look.
It'd be a three-ring circus.
100% right. It's just weird to me.
I mean,
I also find, you know, it's funny. You know, at the time I sat on the show as you did, I'm pretty sure, and we advocated him going to jail, right? We both were very steadfast in that.
You got to remember, the Mayor Bloomberg made that, you know, one of his major points of his platform.
That being said, assuming he's been a good guy in the joint, and by all reports, he's done everything that he's supposed to do,
mm-hmm.
I personally, not that anyone gives a rat's ass, I'm sure he doesn't. If you want to let him out in 2 weeks, I got no problem with that.
Let me ask you this question. If he were not Plaxico Burress and nobody were paying attention to this, what would be the case? Would he be out?
Well, I don't know. I mean, if the answer is yes, then let him out. If the answer is no, don't let him out. I'm sure you could probably come up with examples on both sides of that.
I'm sure
some guys have been let out a lot earlier, too.
But I would imagine that, you know, Plaxico Burress, from every indication, has been a well-behaved prisoner.
I mean, it's hard not to be. You're basically cordoned off from the rest of the prisoners,
right?
So you keep to yourself. You get a couple hours a day of gym time where you can, you know, work out and whatever, right?
Right.
I'm sure he's got some TV rights and he's allowed to check mail and stuff like that. I mean, to me, the only question would be boredom. Like, I asked someone a question yesterday. Let me see how you'd answer this, right?
Okay.
If I said to you, and no joke, not that you'd be in jail, that I was going to put you in a room 10 foot by 10 foot, all right? No windows to the outside, just a room. No TV, no internet, no phone, no nothing, right?
Kind of sounds like our last studio in a story.
Yeah, kind of like that.
Yeah.
And you're not like with bad people. There's no risk of anything happening to you. And you do have a clean bathroom to go to the bathroom in, okay, whenever you got to go.
Right.
How long do you think you could last inside that room?
It'd drive you crazy.
If I said to you, I'm going to put you in there for 90 days, think you could make it?
You'd have no choice but to make it.
But, like, I'm saying to you, do you think...
If you're asking me, could I do it under my own volition, saying I'll make a bet and I can do it?
Right.
Or if I went to jail and I had no choice, I had to do it.
I'm saying, like, if I said to
If I had a choice in the matter, no, I wouldn't want to do it.
If I said to you, I'm gonna put cameras up in the walls, it's going to be a reality show, all right?
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to put you in there by yourself, and you get 3 meals a day delivered to you through a crack under the door, the whole bit, right?
Right.
Without the risk of being hurt or beaten up or anything like that, how long do you think, honestly, you could last before going crazy?
Oh, I don't even want to think about it. It kind of revolts me.
I don't know that, you know? I could go a week. Like, I left Turks and Caicos after 2 days because I was bored.
And that's Turks and Caicos.
And I had a television, an ocean, a pool, my wife, elegant meals, the whole bit, right?
Elegant meals, baby.
That's right. Recco, how long do you think you could last in that kind of setting? Weeks.
No, as you go to Bermuda, in that kind of setting, I think I could last.
Yeah, but I'm not letting you out of the room. That's the key here. You're staying in the room.
Can you read?
I will give you, can you read? I guess you're allowed to read. I'll give you a book.
Is there light, or are you like one of those cubes where
lights
they shut
out
the door
at 7 p.m.?
Oh, that's fine.
You're okay with that?
Yeah, I'd be okay.
You think you could go 90 days?
Yeah.
See, I would think that if you're going to jail, you're resigned to the fact that you're going to jail, and that's the way it's going to be.
Right.
Suck it up. But if you're asking me, would I want to do it?
I didn't ask if you wanted to. I said if there was, let's say, a $50,000 cash prize if you make it 90 days.
Heartbeat.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to do that.
90 days.
Mm-hmm. 90 days for 50 grand.
In cash.
Just books, a bathroom, and meals?
I will give you one
like
book at a time to read. You got to be in there for 90 days. It's 10 foot by 10 foot, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
No windows, no computer, no phone, no TV. I'll give you a book.
But I have a light.
There's a light in the room, and I'll give you a book to read. And obviously a toilet, you know,
50
clean.
50 grand at the end?
You got
$50,000.
Shower there? Or not?
No, there's no shower.
You get a pen and paper?
No.
Maybe a pencil?
Like you can write down your memoirs?
They have to light a shower. And
no shower.
Well, then we're out.
Why?
I could live with myself. It'd stink. No good.
So you're saying no now?
But any prisoner gets the right to take a shower, even if you get hosed down.
I'll give you a weekly shower.
How about bi-weekly? Weekly's no good.
You want twice a week? I'll give you a shower twice a week. You think you can make it 90 days?
It'd be hard. I could, though.
Hey, do me a favor. I'll call my buddies at Spike. Tell them I want to produce a reality show. Solitary. Take regular people, put them in solitary for 90 days.
Good idea.
You make it for 90 days, I'll give you $50,000 cash.
Yeah, that'd be exciting. That'd be great? Television, yeah.
I think what would happen to the average human after about 10 days would be fascinating television. Because I think you'd start going crazy.
And you want to ruin people.
Well, I mean, if that's the byproduct of me becoming a multimillionaire, that's what has to happen.
Is that what you're trying to do?
Carton Productions presents Solitary.
I like it. I like it.
So, hey, Al, call Niels over at Spike.
Get him on the phone.
And then get my agent on a conference call. Tell me we have to set that up, right?
Do they get a bailout button if they just start
going? Yeah, if you want out, you can push a button, but you get nothing. That's exactly right. Boomer, how long do you think you can make it, honestly? You think you can make it 90 days?
No, I didn't. I don't think I can.
I didn't say you want to. I said, could you?
I can't. No.
In that setting,
I couldn't make it
reality
2 days.
TV?
No.
I think you sleep the first day.
I'm not doing a reality TV show.
Why? You do Dancing with the Stars?
Mm-hmm.
That's different.
Why is that reality TV?
You know why? Because that would show the kind of talent that I have.
Would you
and
do
you're dancing with like a beautiful woman.
I'm not going to do Survivor. The Jimmy Johnson's doing Survivor.
I understand.
Yeah. Don't you think they picked the wrong cowboy since it's in Nicaragua? Isn't that like the cocaine capital of the world? Do you think Michael Irvin should have been the cowboy they chose?
Okay.
No?
It's Boomer and Carton. Mornings from 6 to 10 on The Fan.
That's the story, by the way. Jen Sturger, the former, what they call it, the cowgirl down at FSU, who's been on with us and basically is trying to make a career off being friends with me and stealing my content here on this show, is now parlayed being the Jet girl a couple years back when Favre was the quarterback into a show on Versus. She claimed to Deadspin that Brett Favre used to leave her flirty voicemails, and she saved them, because that's normal. I mean, sane women always save voicemails. And used to send her pictures of his junk. In one of these pictures, she claims that there was some self-pleasuring going on.
Oh boy.
And she used to show that to her friends whenever they came over to her Hoboken apartment. Now, she has not yet shown these to anybody. So this is her word against everyone's right now. But Deadspin ran with the story yesterday. It's in the mainstream media today. Deadspin's getting buried for running with it, but I understand why they ran with it, because they have the emails from her to back up her claim. And no word from Favre yet, obviously.
So, Al, why don't you just get Jen Sturger on and ask her yourself?
Right.
Well, I reached out to Ms. Sturger. And,
right.
God. One of her people got back to me and said...
Oh, she has people now?
She has a PR firm working for her now. Yeah. PR New York, I think they're called.
Yeah, she has no comment, he says.
No, because she's been exposed as a skank.
Oh, is that
basically.
Why?
I mean, I don't know. And I checked her out this morning to see what she's got going on online.
Yeah.
She just wrote a whole column about how hard it is to find the right man. And she also says the reason she did not go to the Jets about it is that she figured she would have been fired had she gone to her superiors at the Jets and told them that Brett Favre was hitting on her.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, grow up, would you? And now, to me, if I'm Jen Sturger and I got Brett Favre sending me pictures of his junk,
right?
I wouldn't want that to end, you know?
Why is that?
I'd want to embrace that relationship and keep it going.
Why is that?
Why do you want it to end? Doing it this way, now you're done. You can't be trusted in the sports world ever again.
Maybe that's why she can't find a man.
Maybe. I mean, no team is going to let her in a locker room. She can't go cover sports anymore, right? She can't be trusted. Her sports career is over, as far as that goes. Now she better find a doctor and get married, because her sports career is done. Versus has to fire her. She has no credibility as a sports commentator now, right?
Right. Well, in your eyes, I guess.
I mean, don't you have to?
I don't know how that stuff works. I don't know what these people look at. I don't know if this is a legitimate story. It's not a legitimate story. She's making it up. And, I have no idea, and I don't even know why they even go down this road.
Well, if you're Deadspin, though, and Jen Sturgis says to you, listen, I have voicemails and photographs from Brett Favre and of Brett Favre,
I would think
handling himself.
I would think if you want to.
I mean, if I'm Deadspin, I'm all over that.
I mean, we've covered a number of Deadspin articles before, and they seem to be mostly legitimate, right? I mean,
I love Deadspin. You want to get AJ on? You can bring him on. Yeah. I got no problem putting him on today.
I don't know why they wouldn't try to confirm the the allegations.
Well, they said to her, "Listen, we're not going to sit on the story forever," and they do have her emails to them, which is all that's legit. In which she acknowledges it. But she, in the last email,
if they have emails from somebody, then they can run with a story, even though there's no confirmation of what she's saying.
Well, they never got to see it, which they admit also. I mean, they to me, the way AJ and Deadspin presented the story, it was with complete transparency. They told you everything. They said, we've never seen it.
Right.
She apparently was going to drop them off to Deadspin on her way to the studio, I guess yesterday or the day before, and then completely disappeared, and Deadspin ran with the story. And their fear, because of the digital world.
And she reached out to them.
Yeah, they were going to do they do a lot of these funky blogs from time to time, like, hey, take a picture of the biggest tool in an NBA jersey.
All right.
Like at a concert, stuff like that.
Right.
So they were going to do a story on the heels of the dude on the Cowboys taking a picture of himself.
Okay.
Whatever that guy's name is, right?
Marcellus
something or other?
Yeah.
All right. So they were going to do a story about athletes today, you know, taking camera phone pictures of their junk, which is happening a lot now, right?
What is wrong with
Holmes did it back when he was with the Steelers.
What is wrong with this generation, really?
So Jen Sturger reached out to them and said, I actually have a photo of Brett Favre when I was working for the Jets. He used to send me photos of his junk. So if I'm Deadspin, I'm all over that.
Now, did she go on Versus and talk about this?
No one watches the show. How would we know?
You would think that
if a tree falls in the forest, does anybody hear it?
No.
Okay, so if someone says something on a show that nobody watches it, who heard it? You know?
That's a good point.
Right? I think it's a pretty good point.
Yeah.
So I have no idea, dude.
Okay.
But now, obviously, this point, this has gotten back to Favre, obviously, right?
Of course it has.
Right. So who's going to have the couillons to ask Favre at his Minnesota Viking press conference? Yes, you in the back? Brett, care to comment on the rumors that you're sending photos of your junk to Jen Sturger? That's going to be a tough one, huh?
Oh, boy, it's going to be tough.
But for a girl claiming she's trying to, you know, get by on her brains and personality and not on her boobs and looks, this will do some significant damage to that, don't you think, Boobs?
Oh, God.
You know, and she's an attractive girl. No one ever disputed that, you know. Clearly got a fatal flaw. She should have slept with him. That would have been the answer.
It's Boomer and Carton. Mornings from 6 to 10 on Sports Radio 66 WFAN.
Courtesy of Subway today, the great Bucky Dent. How you been, Buck?
I'm doing terrific. Thanks for having me.
Pleasure having you. You know, we never asked you about it, and if it's a sore subject, I apologize for bringing it up because I've never brought it up before. But what's the story with Russell Earl O'Day? I know every Yankee fan knows that, but for some reason, we've never talked to you about that story on the show. Do you mind sharing with us?
Well, actually, I had my name changed. I was born Russell Earl O'Day, and I was raised by my aunt and uncle.
Okay.
And so they felt that it would be easier for me to change my name
to their name
to go through school so there wouldn't be so many questions asked.
Gotcha. We have a song about it. You guys have that lined up? So how old were you when you changed your name?
Oh, I was real young.
Oh, so you have never known life as anything other than Bucky Dent.
No.
Are they still alive, your aunt and uncle?
No.
Did they get to enjoy your baseball success?
Oh, yeah. They sure did.
That's cool.
My uncle died before I got to the major leagues. Actually, he died in 73, the year that I got called up. So he didn't get a chance to enjoy it, but he was a big part of my athletic career.
Sure. I mean, your aunt got to see you play pro ball, so that's good, right?
Oh, yeah. She sure did.
And so what do you think? Obviously, A-Rod last night, number 600. Boom and I were both saying that our sense is, other than the very critical columnists and the writers, that the far majority, we both think well over 90%, fans don't care about the steroids and all that stuff. Fans appreciated yesterday's moment for what it was, yeah?
I think so. I think if you're at the game and being a part of it, I mean, 600, I mean, that's huge. I mean, and I got a chance to coach A-Rod in Texas his first year that he came down there, and it was my last year in Texas. But
right.
I got nothing but tremendous things to say about him as an athlete and a guy that his work habits were tremendous. And I was happy to see he got it.
You know, I don't know if you saw, we're talking to Bucky Dent. I don't know if you saw the Daily News. You know, the front page has him on there with 600, right? And then the back page says congrats with an asterisk, and it says on your tainted milestone. So there are some people out there that obviously feel us that way. And Christine Brennan writes in the USA Today that it should be somewhere around 446 or 444 total home run. Well, I guess she traced it back to when supposedly A-Rod said that he started the steroids. But, I mean, you know, watching it yesterday and watching all of those fans react to it the way they did, and nobody caught the ball, you know, so it wasn't like they were cheering for a fan who caught the ball or anything. They were seemed to be genuinely happy to be there. And how many kids have we seen had signs saying, hit number 600, I'm here today, you know, that kind of thing. So obviously, I mean, this whole PED thing seems to be completely blown out of whack.
Well, yeah. And, you know, as a fan, actually my partner's sons got tickets to go to the game yesterday, and I said it was a nice time to pick a game to go to. You got a chance to see a little bit of history, you know, with a guy hitting a 600 home runs. But you know, I'm happy for him. I mean, you know, that's a number that's you know, it's tough to reach, and there's not many guys have done it.
Have you? So you knew him back in Texas, and you know, there's been a lot being said about how he has changed over the last couple of years. You know, going through the divorce and winning a World Series and having a great year and being a big part of the success of the Yankees last year. Do you notice when you see A-Rod that there is a significant difference from today's A-Rod, say, to the last 5, 6, 7 years?
Well, I haven't been around him that much. You know, I said hello to him at the old-timers game. He was down there, you know, doing some early hitting, and I went in and said hello to him. But I haven't been around him that much, so I really can't talk about, you know, what he was like now. I can only say, you know, that when I had him in Texas and coaching him down there, he was fantastic. I mean, his work ethic was great. He was always willing to ask questions and learn, and I really admired that about him.
Yeah, it's funny. A lot of people say a lot of bad things about him, you know, us included over the years, just based on the stuff that he's put himself in some very bad spots. No one else's fault. But the one thing everyone says about him is that, you know, as far as work ethic, being a gym rat, you know, being a guy who's all about the game, there are a few guys like him in that regard. And you worked with him. You can attest to that, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he was a tremendous worker. And, you know, when he came down there, you know, we worked on some things, and he took to it right away. And,
right.
You know, being an infield coach and being a major league coach, when you suggest something and a guy's willing to listen, especially with his stature,
right,
as, you know, great a player as he was, I thought it was great.
Now, a lot of guys that are lifetime baseball guys like yourself, you know, they were put in a very bad spot where it was obvious to them. And I imagine you probably had some of this in your life, especially in Texas, where that clubhouse, right or wrong, was described as, you know, basically a carousel door of crazy stuff going on back then, that, you know, you had to know, you had to see body types changing. You know, the body type of a baseball player 10 years prior was a lot different than that era of the quote-unquote steroid era. Was it tough for you to know in your heart that things were going on that were different, you know, guys had to be doing stuff and not say anything? Were you bothered by it? What was your personal take now that it is all out in the open and you can kind of comment on it?
Well, you know, actually, we were all naive to, I mean, you saw body types really change.
Right.
You know, but you just figured with the athlete today being able to work year round in different training methods. I mean, Pudge Rodriguez, I mean, you know, they had their own trainers. You just said, wow, these guys are different than us because they can afford to do this year round. So naturally you're going to see a little bit of a change.
Right.
And not till it started after I left there and people started bringing it up, you would go, wait a minute here, something's weird.
So when
here.
You looked back and you said, oh,
yeah.
Geez, how did I miss that?
Yeah, but
that
yes,
was your reaction.
That's exactly,
you know,
right.
As we talked to Bucky Dent, there's also another aspect to this. Let's say somebody is going through a body change and you're noticing it. Number one, there were no rules against it. There was no testing at the time.
It's true.
And the last thing you're going to do, I think, as a manager or anybody like in you know, the higher-ups in any sort of ball club, are you going to call a player and say, so what are you doing to get like this?
Oh.
I mean, you're just not going to do that.
No, you're not going to do that. And, you know, I spent 7 years there, you know, with some great athletes, Juan Gonzalez, Pudge, you know, Will Clark. And we used to tease him, actually, about, hey, you need to get in the weight room here. You know, you're a little
right.
soft, you know, compared to some of these other guys,
right.
you know. But he was just a different type. He
yep.
was an old-time guy.
You know, you bring up Will Clark, and that's a very good point, because I would put it like a guy like Bernie Williams in that category, where guys had great careers, but the numbers don't jump out off the page to you, but yet they still had, you know, what I would say are careers that are not tainted by the PEDs, and they're being held to a different, I think, level, if you will, and we'll never get into the Hall of Fame because those numbers don't match the guys who did the PEDs. What do you think about
Absolutely.
That?
Absolutely. Juan, I mean, Will Clark was one of my all-time favorite players.
Right.
I mean, he was an old school guy, run the ball out. He had no problem saying things and getting guys to, you know, to play the game the right way. Bernie Williams I had as a young baby and just a tremendous person.
Yeah, and a great guy and a great player. He was a great player, but you're exactly right.
They didn't put up the kind of numbers that they need to get the recognition to get in the Hall of Fame.
Let me mention that. Bucky's here in association with Subway. We have a great relationship with. They do the Subway 640 stop here every morning. And they have Subway Baseball Designs. It's a tour with a unique traveling display with 40 baseballs designed by Little Leaguers and then autographed by celebrities or athletes. Boomer did not sign them because you're not a big enough celebrity or athlete. And you can check it out today between noon and 1 at the Yankees Clubhouse Shop, 393 Fifth Avenue, which is 36 and 5th. Right, Buck?
Absolutely.
And you got Michael Phelps, Sabathia, A-Rod, ironically enough, Michael Strahan, Jeff Gordon, a whole bunch of really cool dudes signed balls that were designed by these little kids, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We did it last year, and it was a tremendous program. I got a chance to go to Little League World Series, which I'd never been there before.
Right.
Tremendous experience. I mean, going to see these kids.
I'd like to go there. It seems like, you ever been to that, Boom?
I've never been to that, but I'm always a little bit perturbed by it because when I watch it, the kids that lose are all broken up.
I mean,
they're just all crying and because it obviously means a lot to them. And
right.
They're on the grand stage. They're on television and everything. And sometimes I think that's a little bit too over the top for me.
Well, I think it's one of the great events.
I like the event,
saying.
But I don't like the fact that we're exploiting
these kids.
We put
so much into it.
And how many times do the cameras catch a kid crying
right.
or, you know, if a kid makes a bad error, now all of a sudden it's on display for everybody who's watching
right,
the game.
Right, SportsCenter, so, top
sometimes
10.
Sometimes I think it's just a little bit too much over the top.
I hear you.
Well, I tell you what, it's the pressure that's on these kids
yeah.
and being a part of it. And actually my son – I got to experience him in the College World Series this year.
Oh, I didn't really?
And
what
he's
team
18.
Is he on?
He played for Florida. And,
nice.
And it's the same thing. I mean, he's playing in the College World Series, 20,000 people. I'm going, my kid's 18 years old, mm-hmm. and here he is in front of his crowd.
Right.
And I'm sweating bullets, man.
So what's he? What position does he play?
He plays shortstop, but he played third in the College
shortstop.
World Series.
Oh, shortstop. Was he a freshman?
He was a freshman,
so he's got to be a damn good ball player to be playing down for Florida as a freshman, right?
Yeah, he's. I think he's going to be pretty
he's gonna be all right.
Talking
huh?
to Bucky Dent, is it harder watching your kid play or was it harder for you to play?
It's so hard. Actually, Robbie Thompson, the second baseman,
right.
John, his son plays for the Gators too, and we were talking about that. And he says, I can't sit down. My palms sweat. He
yeah.
says,
because it's out of your control, right?
Absolutely. And like, I got to walk and I got to pace. And
see, because I guess all you guys at a certain level are control freaks. If you can control the outcome, you'd be the guy. Boy, and then it's your son. It's not like even a friend. It's your blood.
Right.
He's out there. That's got to be hard to do, you know?
Yeah. I know watching my kids play, and they didn't play at that level, but just watching them in high school
sure.
just drive me, you know.
Oh, Boomer's the worst. Yeah. Boomer's daughter's in a big soccer game, and he's up there yelling
lacrosse,
and screaming.
Lacrosse.
Yeah, lacrosse.
She's in a lacrosse
Pass
game.
Pass the ball!
I told her not to be a ball hog, and I didn't think she heard me. And then after the game, she scolded me for yelling at her.
Right.
And I was just trying to be fair, because if I'm going to yell at her teammates to pass the ball, then I'm going to yell at her to pass the ball.
Hey, right. Bucky, I wonder, on those Yankee teams of the mid to late 70s that you were on, if that team, that collection of guys, if there was the internet and like camera phones and Twitter and all this nonsense, how much trouble would you guys have gotten in?
Oh man, it would have been disastrous.
It would have been.
Yeah.
It would have been.
Because
awful,
that was a
right?
different. You know, back then that was such a great group of guys. I mean, you're talking about Munson and Nettles and Goose and they were just different characters.
Right.
We even talk about it today. We did things that you couldn't do today. I mean,
right.
you can't have the same kind of fun because people are trying to catch you doing something wrong so they can put it on the internet.
Right, like this whole Brett Favre story where he may even have sent a picture of his junk to some female reporter. Like, you guys would have been disbanded in about a day, right?
Right.
I mean, not just your guys. Like
yeah, but yeah,
like
but these guys, you know, we didn't have the ability to take those snapshots of ourselves like they do today.
Right.
Well, I'm saying, you did... All these teams, like, they wouldn't have been dynasties back then, you know?
You know, that's why we say it's a little bit harder. Like, you know, we had Daryl Strawberry in here, and he said, you know, I went into the locker room, I talked to the players. You know, if Daryl Strawberry did what he did today, he'd be out of the league within 3 years.
Absolutely.
Right.
You know, and that's why players today don't want to listen to guys like Daryl Strawberry. So wait a minute, time out for a second here,
yeah.
Daryl. I understand you could have been really great, but you threw your career away because of the drugs and everything. You know, why do we want you in here in our locker room telling
right.
us what we're doing wrong?
Right.
Doesn't make any sense.
No, but you're right. And, you know, the guys that I played with were, you know, They were characters.
They were men. They were men having fun, having a fun time,
right? You know?
And you're with the Reds now, yeah?
No, I'm not with the Reds. I left there in 07.
Okay. You doing anything anymore?
Just been doing my baseball school and this corporate stuff with Subway.
So life is good for you, yeah?
It's good. I've enjoyed it.
Buggy, do you want to get back into the major leagues or anything or no?
I wouldn't mind. The right opportunity came, I'd love to get back
into
it.
You want to be New York Met manager? I mean, I'll sign you up for that job today. You know, I ain't dealing with this crap that we deal with every single day is enough.
Yeah, they look like they need some help.
Oh, brutal, right?
I mean, you know, here's the thing, Bucky. Yeah. I don't know how closely you watch it. You know, we're both Met fans here, so we live and die with this
stuff
every
day. You're not a
Yankee fan? No, I'm a Met fan.
I respect the Yankees. Yeah. I'm the guy.
Well, you're a Yankee fan, too.
Well, I mean, I'm born and bred a Met fan, but much like in Godfather, when they talk about, you know, another, you know, business leader / mobster, I respect the Yankees. I'll work with the Yankees, but I don't like the Yankees.
Okay. Yeah, my thing is, I grew up on Long Island, so it was a little bit easier to get to Shea Stadium than it was for Yankee Stadium. You know, my dad was a Met fan, but, you know, because he was a National League fan. So I wonder in watching this team, and we have a lot of really good players on the team, you know, with David Wright and Jose Reyes and, you know, Carlos Beltran and Johan Santana. But sooner or later, a collection of guys that are all-stars have the potential to be MVPs. We have Cy Young Award winners. We got a top-of-the-line closer, but yet they still can't seem to get out of their own way, and they can't win. When do you pull the plug on this group of players, you know, realizing that they can't win it together?
Well, I think you got to start thinking about it soon. I mean, you know, that's where the Yankees, you know, when I came over in 77, you know, the character guys that they had, you know, it was all about winning. Mm-hmm. And then I think they lost sight of it there in the 80s, you know, where they started putting a collector of all-stars together, and it didn't really work for them either. And then they got back with the group that they have with the Jeters, the Posadas, the Marianos.
The homegrown guys,
that
right.
group that was homegrown, and then they've put in some character guys with them, like Paul O'Neill.
And they
had a tremendous run, and that's what teams are doing. In Texas, you know, Texas, we tried, they kind of got away from what we did from 96 to 2000. We won 3 pennants there. Right. You know, we had Will Clark. We had good character guys.
Right.
And, you know, they tried to do the same thing, and they lost it. Now it looks like they've gotten it back this year also.
Well, listen, Buggy.
The Mets are a mess.
They're a mess. Always good seeing you.
You too.
Buggy's here with Subway Baseball Designs. It's the big tour. You can see it today from noon to 1 at the Yankees Clubhouse Shop on 5th Avenue between 36th and 5th. And you can also go to subwaykids.com and, you know, check it out, see the balls. I guess the auction starts during the Little League World Series, which is August 20th. And I'm glad you're well. Good luck to your son.
Thank you very much.
And don't be a stranger, would you?
I won't.
Thank all right, Buggy, great to see you, everybody. Good job, Buck.
It's Boomer and Carton. Mornings from 6 to 10 on The Fan.
Joining us on the hotline right now from Deadspin is the new man in charge. How do I pronounce it? Delario.
I think, yeah.
Here's AJ. He's hilarious. AJ Boomer and Carton on The Fan in New York. How you doing, buddy?
Good. How are you guys?
Doing good, bud. So I walk us through the story on the relationship you guys have with Jen Sturger and how you first came about the allegation of these junk photos from Brett Favre.
I think it was around early February, just before the Super Bowl, Jen and I had begun, you know, conversing about stuff that she could do for us, possibly for the Super Bowl and whatnot. And we run a lot of, you know, quote unquote, you know, these photos of athletes taking pictures of their genitalia on the site.
Right.
And we were just having that conversation pretty casually, and she had said that, you know, I get a lot of these photos all the time. And she was just like going on and said, you wouldn't believe some of the people that sent me these things. From there, it went into the fact that, you know, when she was working for the Jets, that Brett Favre was actually one of these guys that would send her a lot of these photos. And some of the photos were quite ridiculous, as you know, as we put on the site.
Right.
About him in wearing Crocs and wearing the wristwatch that he retired in.
Right.
And, you know, Jen was basically saying that, you know, she was going to give us the pictures in the voicemail. She played me the voicemail.
All right, so let me stop you there. So we're very clear about it.
Sure.
It wasn't like you were probing her for, hey, has anyone done it? She offered it kind of nonchalantly.
Yeah, she did.
Okay,
yeah.
So then you being in your position, someone says to you, I have photographs of Brett Favre's junk sent to me by Brett Favre. Well, you got to do what you do, and that is, let's go get him, right?
Yeah, this is unfortunately just like, you know, part of my job. And this is one of these things that, you know, we will look into. But,
right.
I mean, this is also, you know, 2 months out of the whole Tiger stuff. So I think there was a legitimate news peg as much as you can put, you know, that up on this like situation.
Right, and then she also claimed, in addition to photos, that he had left kind of flirtatious voicemails as well, right?
Yeah, and she played me the one over the phone, and it was really silly. It wasn't really that incriminating, but it is kind of strange that, you know, Brett Favre is, you know, a married man and just calling her on the way to and from practice. And he had like this very Mississippi simpleton charm about him, but it was kind of odd.
Isn't it kind of weird that she kept the voicemail?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
the other thing too,
thing.
Though, is we're talking to AJ from Deadspin. I'm on the site now, AJ, and you actually reprinted one of her emails to you as well.
Yeah. Basically our policy is the whole entire time that most emails are on the record that we receive. Jen is, I mean, this obviously is not the nicest thing in the world to do to Jen, but I did say I wasn't going to sit on the story forever. I talked to her, 2 days ago and said that I want to move forward with this. Can I get your clearance on it? And my interpretation of her email back to me was just like, yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
Well, right, it's kind of interesting. You actually got to her. We can't get to her anymore. We can only get to her people. Maybe it's just
that's what everybody's telling me. I mean, we had, I had gotten to her before all this stuff happened. And, honestly, right now, it seems like all of her handlers are basically no comment.
Well, I don't know why she has handlers. She's a nobody. But she PR'd up now, and now she's obviously worried about, the ability to have a career in her chosen profession, which is certainly going to be very tough for her.
Do you really think that's the case? Because I really don't know about that.
Here's the point. The problem is that, you take a company like Versus, and you look at who owns them, and they're trying to position themselves as a, we have fun on that show, but we still have to have some level of credibility. And they could find any attractive woman to put him on that show. She kind of loses credibility from the standpoint of saving the man's voicemails and then outing him to you guys.
I guess you could look at it that way. But at the same time, I mean, I think there are plenty of people that, done far worse or in, different positions than she is right now.
Yeah, now, you have not seen any of the photos. You've only heard the one voicemail yourself, right?
Heard the one voicemail, but let's just put it this way. I mean, there's another person in the media who has seen the pictures, and I talked to that person about it, and that's where I got, most of the specific details from.
Right, so now that other person was shown the pictures, I imagine, from Jen, correctly?
Yes. Correct? Yeah.
All right. So here's the problem. She's showing the photos to people.
So she's showing the photos to somebody. You spoke to that person, so they obviously exist.
According to her, yes, they do.
Right. Well, according to this other person in the media,
third party.
Yes.
Where is it at? I know you got beaten down yesterday by the quote unquote mainstream media, and of course they would have done the exact same thing. But where does it stand as of 9:15 this morning with this?
In terms of getting beaten down by it?
No, I don't care. Listen, I think it's...
Right now, I'm trying to see just like if there are any other people who have maybe had a similar experience, and I think that's where, we'll go from there. Obviously, everybody would love to hear from Jen at this point.
Right.
I'm in the same position as everybody else, waiting for her to kind of comment on it.
Now, did she do her Versus show last night or no?
Yes, she did. Yeah, I think she did.
Did she comment on it on that show or no?
No.
Well, see, that's a bad job. If you're gonna go on TV and you're now part of a major story, you got to comment on it.
That seems like an odd decision to make. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I'm with you. Hey, by the way, have you guys gotten any more emails from other disgruntled interns here at the Fan? By the way,
not so far. No, none. It was just the one. But I've been told that producer's been taken care of.
Not as a direct result of that story. There's some other things that happened, but he is no longer employed by the company. All right, brother, listen, I love what you guys do, and keep it going. If something happens, give us a shout so we can talk to you about it on the air, right?
Absolutely. Thanks a lot, guys.
All righty. Sounds good.
There's AJ over at Deadspin. All right, so, she was on TV last night on that Versus show, and I apparently did not address it. Now, I didn't see it. But I think if she had addressed
right? She created a firestorm over a Deadspin. AJ felt like he had enough to go with it.
He got a corroborating witness to it,
Right? At least he did that. And then now she's trying to back away from that. I mean, even in the email that he had reprinted from her.
Right.
I mean, basically, she says, let's see.
I mean, that email from her to them is enough for me to have gone with it,
I like you, AJ, and there's no way. And if there's a way to expose this dude for the creepy douche he is without me being attached to it in any way, then that is fine.
So she's no problem outing Brett Favre for doing what he allegedly did,
I just
but
want
not
to,
if she her name's with it.
I just want to make it clear that I never met him, saw him, etc.
Right, he never cheated.
Because
right.
I don't roll that way.
It's Boomer and Carton, mornings from 6 to 10 on Sports Radio 66 WFAN.
Moment of the night!
And with the Jen Sturger, Brett Favre conversation this morning, we had a conversation ourselves off the air that carried on, and really when Boomer says penises, how can it not be the moment?
And what is Al Dukes doing in the Tampa Bay Buccaneer locker room anyway?
Right, Al,
look at Michael Houston.
Oh, Trent Dilfer's junk is like, and I'm like, I want to know what Trent Dilfer's junk looks like. I mean, come on, Al.
I was in the locker room and I looked at other people's penises. I mean, come on.
I mean, you
got
to be
fair description
me.
Of how I was.
I mean, jeez.
I didn't sound anything like that. I was just saying.
No, it was pretty close. I did, actually.
Al, that was very close to the tape.
Nice job on that, Boomer, and that's your moment of the day. Bobby the Blackmeister's here. What do you got, Bobette?
All right, we had a poll today, guys. How do you feel about A-Rod hitting home run number 600? The first was, it means nothing to me. He's a lying cheat. 41% thought that.
Wow.
It was quite a special day at the stadium. He's not the only one who took PEDs. There was 45%.
Nice, okay.
And the 14% said, who cares? They want to see Favre's junk.
So there you go.
And we had our attention grabber
twisted
today.
Twisted fans that we have, yes.
That's
attention
right.
grabber is a Greek model named Christina Moustaka, and there is
nice.
Nothing wrong with this.
I agree. Very
you had
nice.
All you guys covering, A-Rod.
Why are you shaking?
I'm not shaking.
No, you're shaking. Ever since you killed that deer, that innocent deer.
Well, maybe
that
my nerves
didn't
want to
die.
Set. You know how many
Bambi.
Times I've
You've been
seen
shaking.
That deer in my thoughts?
Uh-huh.
Every morning.
Just killed
morning.
Bambi and left her on the road to bleed out and
a,
die.
A little cute little Bambi.
Poor little deer.
Split
just
it right
to
in
go
half.
Home.
Smacked
she did.
The crap out of it.
Yep.
It did. Went right
maybe
in half.
Maybe he shouldn't speed.
Yeah. Now, Bucky Dent, AJ Delary. Boomer, I was going to thank you for breakfast this morning.
Yes, sir.
But we have a bit of a situation.
Go ahead.
I gave Rocco $5 for breakfast.
For your egg
you
sandwich, right? Right.
And nothing back. So either Rocco screwed me or screwed you. But
well, he has until 10 o'clock to give you the money, so don't
that's
worry
That's true.
About
the show's not over till 10, so as long as you get your fin back by 10, you're straight.
Okay.
All right, and what's the website?
Oh, you go to boomerandcarton.com.